Thank you. Let us read the 115th Psalm. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us to pray. O Lord, may the word we have read in our worship this evening form a real part of our worship. For we read it as thy word, and we would read it with that sense of its divine authority and gracious meaning. And we would read it as a part of worship. And then we pray that the word we have read may inspire in our hearts the feelings that it expresses. And this is the feeling we have desired might be permeating our spirit and our assembly and our worship and all that is done this day in word and deed, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. We do desire, O Lord, that thou wilt bring forth thy glory from our hearts as it is now possible. We feel that thou dost ever more bring forth the glory of thy high praises in heaven and endless thanksgivings in a way and to a degree and in a manner that we know not. But we pray that in that way and manner we may know and feel thou wilt bring forth from our hearts thy high praise and inspire a spirit of thanksgiving in our worship. For thou art great and greatly to be praised. We feel this, we believe it, we ascribe it to thee. Thou art great in thine infinitude. Thou art great in thy eternity. Thou art great in thy power and wisdom. Thou art great in thy love and mercy. Thou art great in thy truth. And we would desire greatly to praise thee. We cannot praise thee as we would, and we feel so often we do not as we ought. But we would praise thee. Grant then, O Lord, that our hearts may be so enlarged this evening and our lips so opened through our hearts being enlarged that thy high praises may arise from our assembly and through Jesus Christ, the mediator, whose name we desire to plead, be acceptable in thy sight. And we ask further that thy blessing may rest upon us personally, that we may feel it has been good for us to be here and to draw near to God here this day. For it is not only to assemble ourselves one with another that we have come, but we would desire to draw near to thee, and that it might indeed be true here today that it is unto him the assembly of the people have come. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt grant to us all to feel that spirit of thankfulness with our friends here on this special occasion. Thou hast been mindful of them. Oh, how true that is. Thou wast mindful of this cause when it was in a low case and state. Thou didst not permit it to come to nothing, nor that the candlestick should be removed out of its place. Thou hadst a purpose of grace and favour to this hill of Zion. Thou wast mindful then. And as thou hast brought thy servant here, thou hast been mindful of him through all his experiences of joy and sorrow, of encouragement and distress, of health and of sickness. Have been mindful of him, and thou hast blessed him. Thou hast supplied him so often from the treasury of thy word in his ministry that he has been enabled to come before his people and to proclaim the same blessed gospel to them with acceptance and profit. Thou hast been mindful of him. We would be thankful for this. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would offer to thee this thanksgiving today. And thou hast been mindful of his flock. Thou hast blessed them. Thou hast increased them. Thou hast fed them. Sabbath by Sabbath, they have come to the table of the gospel, and it has been supplied. And thou hast blessed to them the provisions of thine house. The poor have been supplied with bread, and the seeking have been directed to Jesus Christ in the gospel, and the tempted have been strengthened by thy word, and those who have felt burdened with sin have been brought to peace and pardon through the Saviour's redeeming blood. Thou hast been mindful of them. And now this day we come before thee in this way and manner to offer unto thee the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to thy name. And so we pray for the future, the unknown future. We know nothing of the future except this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and will be the same forever. That the gospel will always be the same blessed gospel, and that the Holy Spirit will be with us. This we know. But whether our days may be short or long, and whatever may yet come, whether of adversity or prosperity, whether we may live to see our prayers answered, and a spiritual and gracious and godly reviving may gather into thy kingdom many that are without, or whether we may see evil men waxing worse and worse, deceived and being deceived, and many departing from the faith, we know not. But we do not ask to know the future. We pray that we may be enabled to rest our hearts in Jesus Christ, and upon that foundation that has been laid in Zion that can never be removed, in that shelter, the rock of ages. We pray, O Lord, also that thou wilt accept our thanksgiving for thy good providence toward us. Since the last occasion of our thanksgiving services in this sanctuary, thou hast supplied our every need. The seasons have succeeded each other under thy overruling, controlling hand and power. And we have seen once more the valleys covered over with corn, and the fruits of the earth brought to their perfection. And this day we would offer to thee our thanksgiving and praise as a God of providence to us. May it please thee to hear us in our prayers for all men in general, for we would pray for all men. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt have mercy upon those who know thee not. And we pray that thou wilt overturn all those counsels of men that are evil in their nature and purpose, and establish counsels of peace and justice in the nations of the earth and between them. And may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hear us, most gracious God, in this our prayer and our thanksgiving, in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The second thing for the evening service, the tune of Wiltshire, 268. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue and joy.
Thank you. as the Lord
may help me, I will speak again this evening from the word in the Epistle to the Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 17th verse. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I shall be very brief in my remarks this evening because of what is to follow in this service. It is an occasion for word and deed. I will just mention that this afternoon upon this text I observed first of all what we are to understand by the name of the Lord Jesus, that it implies first his blessed person, and how vital it is that we should have a spiritual discernment of and living faith in and love to his person. For could we his person learn to love, we more should prize his grace. And secondly, that by the name of the Lord Jesus, we must understand his salvation, his name as a Saviour. First, his name as the Son of God and man, Emmanuel, and then his name as a Saviour, and that salvation that is in his name. And then I said, thirdly, by his name we must understand his exalted state, that name that the Father hath given to him, a name which is above every name. And that name John saw written on his vesture and on his thigh, King of kings and Lord of lords. So he is the Lord Jesus. And then I said that whatsoever we do, if it is acceptable in his sight and in the sight of God the Father, it must be in this his name. That is, it must be in the exercise of faith in him. Where there's no faith in Jesus Christ, nothing is acceptable in the sight of God, and in love to his name. To do anything in his name is to do it as believing in his name and in the principle of love. That to do what we do in his name is to do it according to his word and his will. And that to do whatsoever we do in his name is to do it in his spirit, his humble, gracious, tender, and lowly spirit. And further I might have added that whatsoever we do in word or deed, we must do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, as depending entirely upon the merit of his name in all we do. For there can be no merit in anything that we do as we do it, because there is nothing that we can do that can merit anything. Our best really is stained and dyed with sin, and our all is nothing worth. But if it is done in the name of the Lord Jesus, then it has a merit from him. He imparts to that which is done in his name his own pure and perfect merit, and maketh it to be acceptable in the sight of God. We might apply this very briefly. It applies to so many things. Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed? Do we pray? Do we worship? Worship is a very solemn, sacred, and holy thing to be engaged in, to worship God in spirit and in truth. But we must worship him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do we pray? It must be in his name. Do we offer our praise and thanksgiving? It must be in his name. Giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could heartily wish we never prayed and never offered our praises in any other way than as believing in, looking to, depending upon his name. For if we take any sort of pleasure in our public worship and feel any enjoyment and satisfaction in it otherwise than that as it is in his name, well, we do it not then in his name. And so with regard to the ministry, are we called to speak? A very solemn position, a great privilege, but a very solemn position. We must not come forth in our own name. We must not seek to preach for our own honor or advantage or popularity or anything of the kind, because so far as that comes into it, we are preaching in our own name. However we may preach the truth, we are preaching in our own name. And do we attend to the sacred ordinances of the gospel? They are to be observed. The Lord has appointed them not to be merely approved, but to be obeyed. Do we walk in the sacred ordinance of baptism? It must be in his name, believing in him, walking that way because he has appointed it, and because it will honor and glorify his name. And I feel that should weigh very much upon our minds. We should consider it not merely whether that is a right step to take, but can we take it as believing in his name? Believing in him who was himself not only baptized in Jordan's river, but baptized in that deeper, more mysterious baptism of suffering and death, the baptism he had to be baptized with after he was baptized in Jordan. Will that honor him if one should walk in the ordinance of baptism? Will that honor him? Can it be done in his name? Because believing in him, if thou believest with all thine heart, you know, thou mayest. Is it in love to him? Surely love should make that way acceptable to us and influence our spirit towards it. For has he a command to fulfill that nature untoward would shun? Love brings to compliance the will and causes the deed to be done. But be sure it's done in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's not sufficient that we should put his name to it. It must be done in his name, in the way I've mentioned. And do we gather to the Lord's table and partake of the sacred emblems of his broken body and his shed blood? Never come merely because you're members of the church. Never come merely because duty impels. Come in his name. Come every time in his name, in the name of the suffering, surety in the name of him whose precious body and precious blood is there set forth. And so I might go on, but I'm pressed for time this evening, and so I will leave any further remarks that way. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, so that whatever we do, thanksgiving should enter into it. And thanksgiving must be in the name of the Lord Jesus. This also is a very embracing word. In everything give thanks, everything. And that offers an almost illimitable sphere for our consideration. But I must be limited. I limit it then to our present occasion. This is a day of thanksgiving. It is the usual day for thanksgiving with regard to the harvests of the earth. It is a special day of thanksgiving with regard to the pastor's 50th anniversary. Now let us consider that. I have in mind the psalm I read. I hope nothing will be said now or in the after part of this service otherwise than in agreement with that word, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. But then we are exhorted in the scripture expressly to remember them that have the rule or the oversight over us, to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. The apostle thankfully received every tribute of believers to him. Every tribute of love was to him something very sweet to receive. Now, to view this rightly then, we give all the honor and all the glory and all the thanksgiving to God as the giver of every good and perfect gift, and as the giver of a ministerial gift. But we hold those in honor and esteem that the Lord is pleased to give and to make a blessing to us. Now, very briefly, I will guide your thoughts and your feelings along this line. First, what cause we have to give thanks for the gospel itself, the glorious gospel of the blessed God. That gospel that the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the Church of God at Rome, he was persuaded that when he came to them in the providence of God, he would come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wonderful words, really, well worth pondering over, for there is a fullness of blessing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, a depth, a richness, a continuity, and a suitability, and a sweetness that can never, never be exhausted. You think how many in every generation have had cause to be thankful for the gospel, and so have we. I pray we may just now lay it to heart, what cause we have to give thanks to God by Jesus Christ for the gospel, and that ever that gospel has come to us, and in measure, as we cannot but feel it has, been made effectual in our hearts in the power of it. For the gospel has come to us, not in word only, but in power. Some of us, I should hope many of us, in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. the glorious gospel of the blessed God, the good news of his love in Jesus Christ, of his forgiving grace through the redeeming blood shed for the remission of sin. Oh, it's a blessed gospel. I wish we knew it more, felt it more, believed it more, loved it more, and walked in the spirit of it more than we do. My brethren, the more we know of the gospel in a spiritual way, both with regard to understanding of its nature and experience of its blessing, the more wonderful and blessed and glorious that gospel appears to us to be. Now, we have cause to be thankful for the gospel. We were in a hopeless and helpless and ruined condition if it were not for the gospel. I might truly say it were better for us that we had never been born than to have been born into this sinful world in a sinful condition if there were no gospel of salvation and of redeeming love, blood, and power. Be thankful for the gospel and pray that it may be more and more effectual in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And then we should be thankful for the ministry of the gospel, for that is a divine appointment. God hath manifested his word through preaching. And however much to the eyes of some the preaching of the gospel is foolishness, still it is the means that God has appointed and often used to save them that believe. The poor have the gospel preached to them. They have cause to be thankful that they have it preached to them. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My friends, only living souls know what a living ministry means to them. You mark that. Only living souls know what a living ministry means to them. How it feeds them, how it instructs them, how it refreshes them, how it unites their hearts, how it attracts them. Only living souls can understand what a living ministry means and why those who are favored with it cleave to it as they do. Well, first the gospel and then the ministry of the gospel are causes of thanksgiving. Then, to come now to the point and purpose, what cause there is here at Union Chapel for the long continuance of such a gospel ministry in the person and labor and love and service of the pastor. Now he will not take it amiss of me when I speak in the Lord's name concerning him as the pastor. The Lord brought him here. It was a mysterious purpose at the time. No one could have foreseen what it meant when first, as a young man, his voice was heard in this pulpit. No one could have seen what a blessing the Lord was bringing to Union Chapel. And when you consider now briefly the 50 years, what faithfulness the Lord has given to him in the ministry. There's been no turning aside to the right hand or to the left. It has been a steady ministry. I have thought sometimes when I've pondered over the past, there have been some ministers have risen up, attracted a lot of attention, drawn many after them, had a little popularity, and then it's waned off. We don't hear much more about them. Now the ministry here has been a steady light. It hasn't been a comet blazing across the sky and then gone. It's been a fixed star. And that's a scriptural and a Christ-given emblem. Faithful ministers and pastors are stars in the right hand of Jesus Christ. And think of the many times the gospel has sounded from his lips. Think of the many times it has been received with power and been effectual by the Holy Spirit in the heart. Many times, in the name of the Lord Jesus, his hands have laid believers in the sacred waters of baptism. And many, many times he has administered those solemn emblems of the Saviour's body and blood to his flock. It's something to remember and something to be thankful for, and the Lord has been with him. Giving thanks now today, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus for him, for the gospel, for the ministry of it, and for the minister. All that we can say is summed up in that one word of the apostle in the epistle to the Galatians, and they glorify God in me. Now that's just what we desire to do, to glorify God in the pastor, to glorify his goodness and mercy and grace and favor to this church. And I will venture to say that not only today is there thanksgiving in the hearts of the flock for their pastor, but there's thanksgiving in the heart of the pastor too. For he would say with the apostle in the Thessalonians, you know our entering in unto you, that it was not in vain. And that when ye heard the word of God from us, ye received it, not as the word of man, not as my word, my ideas, my views, my opinions and the like. No, ye received it as it is in truth, the word of God, which worketh effectually in you that believe. The pastor could say of his flock, for what is our crown and our hope, what is our hope and our joy and our crown of rejoicing? Is it not ye in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the day of his appearing? And that day is fast hastening on, when our preaching will be over, and our hearing will be over, and the gospel ministry, as we know it now, will come to its end. Oh, to be found of the Lord in that day, accepted in the Beloved, cleansed in his precious blood, and clothed in his perfect righteousness, the path to laying down his labor and receiving the Lord's approval. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the people who will receive the word through his ministry, joining with him and he with them in one eternal song of praise and thanksgiving unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Amen.
Thank you.
we have to mention that with the thankfulness and holy happiness we feel in the occasion of this day, there is one sad shadow over it, and that is that Mr. David Oliver, who has been the treasurer of the fund connected with this presentation and the correspondence connecting with it, is in hospital, and with disappointment and the disappointment of the friends, is unable to be here this evening. He is undergoing an amputation of his neck, and the friends remember Mr. David Oliver with sympathy and affection at this time. And now is the time for our deed. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed. And I will ask Mr. Jarvis, please, to commence this part of the meeting by reading an introductory letter.
Our beloved friend and pastor, it is our desire as a church and congregation in union with many others throughout the country to thank God and to humbly acknowledge his abounding mercy and the great goodness in maintaining and sustaining you amongst us as our pastor for 50 years. For the blessing and fruitfulness attending your faithful ministry, wondrously proving his faithfulness to the promise he gave at the commencement of your long pastorate. We thank him, too, for making you a faithful, kind, and loving pastor, and for the union, love, and concord in which we have been favored to dwell together for so many years. May a gracious humility be granted to us as we seek to record his great goodness and mercy to us. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We would thank God, too, for giving you a gracious, godly, true helpmate to journey along by your side to this day. One who has so lovingly and willingly given of her best to help, encourage, and comfort you through the varying scenes of your pastoral life. In making this acknowledgement of the Lord's great goodness to us, we ask you to accept these tokens of our love and esteem to you as our friend and pastor and the Lord's servant. We sincerely pray, if the Lord will, he may grant you a few more years to labor amongst us. Signed, on behalf of the Church and Congregation, E.W. Oldborough, H. Oliver, J. Jarvis, J. Oliver, E.G. Buss, D.
In a personal way, my beloved brother, it is a great privilege to me to be asked to make these presentations to you now from your beloved long, and truly I don't feel able to fulfill the duty here to die as I would, but there is this appeal to be said. We are long-standing and loving and united friends and fellow labourers in the gospel. My mind goes back to the time and occasion when I first commenced to speak in the Lord's name, and in Tunbridge Wells at Rehoboth Chapel, you spoke to me. I think it was the first time you had ever spoken to me, and you spoke in such a kind and loving and warm-hearted way to me as I was entering the ministry that it knit my heart to yours and yours to mine, and it has been a union that nothing has ever weakened and never marred. We have been brothers together in the spiritual things and in the ministry. We feel a love which I am persuaded will know no change save only to increase, and I believe it will last on into eternity. And for that, I feel thankful to be asked to make this presentation to you now. Now, the Lord has been gracious to you and your people. He has blessed you. He has sustained you. You have had all the experiences of the pastor, the joys, the sorrows, the times of thankfulness and encouragement, and heart-aching times. They fought a lot of all pastors, especially long-standing pastors, but through it all, the Lord has been mindful of you and blessed you. He has blessed you and your children. Very few have been so favored to see their own family grow up and to walk in the ways of God, and to be, as some of them have, baptized by your hand. To think of Union Chapel is to think of Mr. Dawson. Your ministry has given Union Chapel its standing, its character, and with the Lord's blessing, its prosperity. You are a loved pastor, not only by your own flock, who being nearest and dearest to you, occupy the first place in your affections, but by the many throughout the land to whom you have ministered the word of God, and who have felt thankful for you. Now, I won't take up any more of the time myself. I will make these presentations to you, asking you to receive them at my hand from your beloved flock and people and friends to whom you have ministered. First, I will read this illuminated testimonial. Union Chapel, Bethesda, to our beloved pastor, Mr. Herbert Dawson. This address is presented to you by the church and congregation in acknowledgement of God's goodness and mercy in maintaining you as our pastor for a period of 50 years. We ask you to accept this, together with the attached check, as a token of our love and esteem, in which we are joined by many other friends throughout the country who desire to associate themselves with us on this auspicious occasion. May the blessing of God rest upon you and your neighbours for some time to come. That is the beautifully illuminated testimonial. This is a token gift from the church and congregation of this Bible, 1915 to 1965, to our beloved and esteemed pastor, Mr. H. Dawson. We, the church and congregation, ask you to accept this Bible as a token of our love, desiring to record with humble thankfulness to our gracious God your untiring zeal in proclaiming a precious Christ among us these 50 years. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And this is attended by this check for £381. Now, brother, there are others to speak, so we want to spare you all we can. We know that this imposes an emotional strain on you in your weakness, so that I would suggest you wait until the others have said what they have to say before you speak to us. Now, I will ask Mr. John Oliver to make a presentation to Mrs. Dawson.
Being a pastor's wife, you have to share in all of his sorrows, his trials, his disappointments. So, it should call your lot is sharing his joys and pains. In thinking of this, it takes my mind, when God formed Adam, after he formed Adam, he said, it is not good for man that he should be alone, though they can help him. That it will be your dear husband. And if I ask you to accept this, with your heart of desire, and you do this.
Now, I will ask Mr. Emmy Buss, please, to make a presentation from the Sunday School to Mr. Dawson.
My dear pastor, through the long years you've been the pastor of this course, the young friends, the boys and girls, the little ones, even the babes, and had a special place in your heart's affections. And we've seen that word, which was given to you many years ago, wonderfully fulfilled in Union Chapel, the children of thy servants shall continue. And their seed shall be established before them. And those of us who labour in the Sabbath school, we appreciate very much what the Lord has made you as our pastor in our midst, and that you have been given such a concern for the young friends that oftentimes in the preaching of the gospel you are helped to drop a word on their behalf. And then, especially remember how on the first Sundays of each month they gather in goodly numbers and you're enabled to cast a net on the right side of the ship for them then. And we believe your labours have been blessed to many a one in life's morning. It was felt that we who labour in the Sunday School, we felt that we should like this on this occasion to show our love and esteem for you, to give you a present from the Sunday School, and I'll read you this message. Our dear pastor, in seeking to acknowledge the goodness of God to us as a church and congregation, worshipping at Union Chapel, in upholding you as our esteemed pastor for over 50 years, in such a gracious and marked way, those of us who labour in the Sunday School felt that this occasion gave us a suitable opportunity to convey by some token our love and esteem for you and to show our appreciation of your loving concern for the young friends who gather with us. In making this presentation to you, it is our prayer that your Lord and Master who has been with you to bless, uphold, sustain, and make your blessing, they give you further evidences of his favour in the days yet to come. And as you and your dear wife come into the eventide of life, by having a special sense of the Lord's presence abiding with you and his peace filling your hearts. Having obtained help of God, you have continued unto this day, witnessing both the small and the great. We ask you to accept this token with love from the scholars and teachers of the Sunday School. This present takes the form of rather a special type of reading class, where we realise that there's some volumes on your bookshelves that of late you haven't been able to look into because the smallness of the type. And we do hope from the Sunday School that this will be a help and an aid to you in your studies as you make use of it and seek to bring forth things old and new from the treasury of God's Word. They're all in the Sunday School had a part in this, not only the teachers, but the scholars, from the Bible class down to the little ones in the infants class. We ask you to accept it with our love. Just another word, and it concerns the pastor's wife. Naples. For a number of years, the dear pastor's wife was unable to labour in the Sabbath school. In the first instance, taking a class of senior girls for some long time, and then, more particularly, later on, right from its very beginnings, the Bible class. And many were the happy hours spent by the young friends who gathered in the Bible class under Claremont roof during those years, as our dear friend set before them those things she had tasted, handled and felt of the good word of life. And we should like also to include the pastor's wife in this presentation from the Sunday School. There's a card that goes with this gift, which says, presented to Mrs. H. Stoughton on the occasion of the pastor's Jubilee Thanksgiving, October 6, 1965, by the teachers and scholars of Union Chapel Sunday School, in loving remembrance of her labour of love on behalf of the Sunday School and Bible class. And the word from Ruth, which came to my mind in thinking of this, which in the words of Boaz, spoken to Ruth, the Lord recompense thy labour, and the full reward be given thee, and the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And it is my pleasure to ask Mrs. Dawson's successor in taking the Bible class, Mrs. Reuben Oliver, to present this card and card of it to Mrs. Dawson.
Not conscious one duly exerts herself, rather, Herbert, that she would feel able to speak few words to us, we should be thankful.
My dear friends, you will understand I shall not be able to say a great deal under the stress and strain of this happy time. I am really overwhelmed by the kindness that has been shown to me by my people and those in their denominational life abroad. I do much appreciate it beyond words to describe, and when I say to you all, thank you, you will understand that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. I must honestly say that in thinking about this Jubilee time in my ministry, I have looked at it, or tried to look at it, from two viewpoints. I know what you have said, such kind words, and in showing such esteem and appreciation of my ministry, is very honest in how you view it. And I do accept it, and I desire to thank God and take courage that you feel like that toward me and my ministry. But there is another viewpoint of it, and that is, as I look back over my ministry, and as you know, 50 years is a long way to look back over my pastorate, I must honestly say, I have many searchings of heart at times about it, and many sorrowful reflections, inasmuch as it is one of my troubles that I cannot reduce to practice as I desire what I preach, and I feel also often to come so short of the pattern of what a pastor should be as the Word of God sets it forth. And lately I've been walking in agreement with Jacob when he said, I am not worthy of all the mercy and all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. And dear friends, do you count it a mercy that God does not deal with us as his people on the basis of our worthiness or our unworthiness, but he is determined to do his people good for his great name's sake? And I take courage in that reflection. But oh, I feel like this as I look back over my ministry. The Lord knows what has been my heart's desire to serve him, and that the word of God should be made effectual in poor sinners' lips and lives. But when I feel such a consciousness as I do of my shortcomings in all that I would be and do as a pastor, I feel it is best for me to take my stand alongside Ezra. Oh my God, I am ashamed. I blush to lift up my face unto thee, and also to stand close to the publican. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And yet, as our dear friend and brother has reminded us in our evening sermon, the Lord hath been mindful of us, and there are many instances during my pastorate where the hand of God has been upon us for good. And pastor and people together, looking back over it, can indeed say the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Oh, my dear friends, my dear Union Chapel friends and other friends from other causes, I do say thank you very sincerely, and it comes from deep down in saying it. And I especially say thank you to all of you in your very kind remembrance of my dear wife. My wife was telling me only this morning that on our wedding day, nearly 50 years ago, it will be 50 years ago if we should be spared till October the 28th. But on our wedding day, the Lord lodged a word in her heart concerning our coming together, and she knew she was coming down to this cause of truth to be a pastor's wife. And this was the word: he performeth the thing which is appointed for me. And many such things are with us. And now we have had abundant evidence that it was appointed that my dear wife and I should come together. And I could not begin to tell you, my heart would be too full to put it into words, what a faithful, loving help me she has been to me all through the years, and we have walked together in agreement in the things of God, and I have ever had an interest in her prayers. And I can name one other thing which it might be well, I'm not putting any caps on, it might be well for the young people to think about it too. 50 years nearly have we walked together in our happy wedded life,
and we are still on the right side of that scripture, see that ye fall not out by the way. And that is a mercy to prophets. And now, what the future holds in store, I do not know. But I do earnestly desire, if the will of God, that he will grant me a further measure of restoring mercies, that I may labour on, spend and be spent, as Union Chapel pastor, and that he will grant me the privilege to serve other causes as opportunity is afforded, and in accordance with those all-important words, God willing. And I do desire the blessing of the Lord to be upon you all. And oh, my dear friends, who can begin to estimate what it is to participate in the blessing of the Lord? The blessing of the Lord be upon you, the psalmist said, and I desire it for you all. And if that mercy should be granted to you and to me, as we journey on through life, we shall not fear what the future holds in store. We shall have in our hearts a sure guarantee. It shall be well, come what will. In every state secure, kept as Jehovah's eyes, is well with them while life endure, and well when called to die. Sometimes, as we do view the future and journey on midst changing scenes, we do get welling up in our hearts of that guarantee. It shall be well with them that fear God. And when we feel our heart overflowing with it, we can enter into the psalmist's words, for this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. I hope the Lord will help me to serve him on Zion's walls till my work is done. And when that day should dawn, I earnestly hope then I shall feel like the hymn writer did when he said, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing his power to save. The blessing of the Lord be upon you, dear friends. Amen.
I feel sure that our hearts have responded to Mr. Dawson very feelingly, very affectionately, and very thankfully. It has just occurred to me that I've omitted to mention the collection today. It will be for the general fund of this call. Now we will sing the last hymn for the evening. And after the hymn, I will ask Mr. H. Oliver to close with prayer and the benediction. And after that, we will sing the doxology. The last hymn. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. The last hymn.
one that the right spirit by which we can only come to the Christ with that humility and fervency that we need and that we would have in approaching thee, holy and mercy, Lord God, who art indeed glorious and holy. Lord, we thank thee for the mercies that followed us as we have been commemorating this day as our God, seeing thou art the omniscient God, seeing all things. And we believe present here, desiring each one's heart, knowing the thoughts and what is prompts every word. Lord, we feel that it is indeed a solemn responsibility that is put upon us to approach thee at this time. Nevertheless, thou who hast helped us hitherto, do they grant unto us grace to do this at this time, and that helping us, we do thank thee that thou hast helped our dear servant to express what he has about our precious Christ this day. We believe that thou must work. We believe that many hearts here have been touched by the way in which he has so lucidly expressed what a precious Jesus is in his person, in his life, yea, and now advocate on high. And because he is this, we have that hope in him. Lord, have we not got that hope? Hast thou not somewhat assured us of our part in that glorious hope of salvation that comes through him? And then we've been singing, from sin and sorrow which be free. And Lord, that seems to us one of the greatest things in our mind as we anticipate eternity that is to come, to be forever with our dear Lord and Savior, precious Christ, and be forever free from sin. Lord, thou knowest we would be free from it now. Alas, like to our dear pastor, we have to say, become so sure of what we would be, but nevertheless, we remember again that thou dost not change. Thou art the unchanging God, loving mercy rather than sacrifice. And because thou changest not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. O Lord, that is a marvel indeed. Lord, that we would join with all here in expressing our thanks and our gratitude to thee for a loving, faithful ministry. We look back upon those 50 years when it was over 50 years ago that we met our dear friend and pastor, and how we heard the gospel at that time. How what a loving tone that gospel had in it, and how it drew forth our hearts' affections to him. And then since then we've had to walk a path of faith, each in his own pathway. Different pathways, but nevertheless, we believe it has been a grain of faith in each heart that has guided us through, and that is by thy goodness and mercy to us. So, Lord, we would thank thee for these things. We thank thee for the fine day and for thy servants here. We pray that thy blessing may rest upon each of them. We love them for the truth's sake, thou and knowing. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and bless us as we part one from the other, and take
take those who have to go a journey, long journeys, take them to their homes and destinations in safety, and grant that we may, as we partake of respite and sleep once again, that we may lie down with our heads on our pillows, comfortable as they are, through thy goodness and mercy to us. That we may have that peace in our hearts that passeth all understanding, knowing that thou, that although we come so short, yet thou art a God of mercy, delighting in mercy, forgiving our sin, pardoning our iniquities, and we say that thou art pardon all that thou sealest in us this day. For Jesus' sake, and now may his grace and the Father's love and the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide on us all time, now and evermore. Amen.
Now we will close this memorable and favored and blessed day with the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.